This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
This is the bite-sized business breakfast best bits from Wednesday, April the 27th. And we spoke to the team at Multiply Group a little earlier on. Abu Dhabi-based subsidiary of IHC have reported some rather eye-watering and surprising figures. That certainly got all of us talking here in studio. We reached out to the team at Multiply Group, and we're happy to have Kevin Mark Rystrick join us. Kevin is the COO of the company. I want to reflect on those figures, but also the significant growth in the group in a short matter of time. In fact, it was a day of C-suite guests, because we're also joined by the brand new CEO of Rakbank, Raheel Ahmed, whose first set of figures and earnings were very, very impressive. Certainly Raheel and his team setting the bar very high indeed. CEO of Dubai Airports, Paul Griffiths, was also kind enough to join us in what is going to be a very busy week, busy couple of days for Paul and his team. Not just at DXB, where they're getting ready for record numbers this weekend, but also at Dubai World Central, that will be picking up flights towards the end of next week because of the runway renovations going on at DXB. Paul also started quoting Newton's laws to us, which was new. We also had news on some of the big listed companies out there and their earnings, latest coming through after the first quarter of this year. Big interviews from a number of those companies. Plus, we also got the latest on the plans by Russia to cut off gas to Poland and Bulgaria. All these stories right here on the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
Thomas Urquhart, I tell you what, we've got a big day of big interviews, haven't we? Two heads of listed companies that have reported earnings this week, and you're going to kick it off, and I'm fascinated by this one.
Talking to Multiply Group, which we mentioned yesterday. The reason we were talking about Multiply Group yesterday is that they had some very, very strong numbers coming out, swinging into first quarter profit on the back of a number of strong investments. And it's more a question of how you phrase your first question to Kevin Mark Rystrick of the Multiply Group, who will be joining us a little later on this hour. Because the sort of elephant in the room that most people out there will be saying is, who's Multiply Group?
It's not
you
often.
You can't go straight wading into a CEO and go, Kev, who's Multiply Group?
I was thinking that this morning. But it is the question, isn't it? It's not normally how you start a CEO, because we got the CEO of Rakbank on earlier on.
Yeah.
We're not going to start that with, so what's Rakbank?
Yeah, what's Rakbank? You can't, you know, after they've just done $79.09 million worth in the 3 months of this year, you can't get, so is it, where was this Multiply
Group?
Who are you? So we'd like to find a little bit of background about Multiply Group, which is, of course, a subsidiary of IHC. We want to find out more about
who Dem?
We want to find out more about the policies that have got them there. Huge series of acquisitions of well-known brands, international and regional as well. I would like to find out a little bit about the vision. You know, if this is what they've done in the first 3 months of 2022, and given the fact that they listed what, December last year, whenever it was. What's it going to be like by the end of this year?
I don't know. Because last year was a crazy year, in a good way, for listings in Abu Dhabi.
Yep.
You had, over the last 18 months or so, IHC, International Holding Company, Multiply, Alpha Dhabi, yeah, and others, you know, ADNOC Drilling and so on. So there's a lot of activity down the road in the nation's capital on the stock market there. Some of them are old school companies like ADNOC Drilling. You know what ADNOC Drilling does?
Yep.
Drills oil wells.
Yep.
Fine. Does it well. Does exactly what it says on the tin. But what's Alpha Dhabi? What's Multiply? What's International Holding Company? And what's the relationship between the three?
Mm. So these are a couple of questions that we're going to be putting to the COO, Kevin Mark Rystrick. He's been kind enough to join us live on Teams a little later on. And you hit the nail on the head there. It's the diversification of these subsidiaries of, etc. The diversification within the diversification, if you like, And you look at, you know, what they're buying up: media and communications, utilities, ventures, wellness and beauty, the digital economy as well. It's a fair old whack. It's a wide sphere, that's for sure.
So, well, you've got 8 minutes with him.
Got 8 minutes with him. One of their mantras is an obsession with growth, and we're certainly seeing that at the moment in the first three. And it'd be good to find out a little bit more. And if there's anybody out there that would like to find out more about Multiply Group, then feel free to get your questions in to us, because we'd love to hear from you this morning. Number of ways you get those questions in. We'll be chatting with them about half an hour's time.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking, you mentioned communications there, because Kevin is a 30-year veteran of Nokia.
Yes.
And left them last year to join Multiply. So
knows a thing or two about comms.
He does.
Staying in touch.
He does. I've got the new CEO of Rackbank, which is fascinating, Rahil Ahmed, making his debut on the Business Breakfast. Now, we've been talking to the guys at Rackbank for a long time now. Peter England, of course, oversaw a difficult period for the UAE economy, starting with the 2015... well, it's a really tough time for SMEs, and Rackbank's an SME bank, and then the rebound, and then COVID, and so on. But his stewardship was an excellent one, but he's retired to be a beekeeper. Mm. We know that because we did an exit interview with him. Rahil Ahmed is the new guy in charge. He's a very experienced banker. He spent time both in the United Kingdom and the UAE before now with some of the big name banks. So very, 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 very safe for our hands, very experienced banker. But it'd be interesting to speak to him. Now, he's kicked off well. It's his new job. A profit's up 93% of the first quarter.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
just retire now, Rahil. Get better than that.
Yeah, not a bad team to inherit. It's like sort of taking over Man City now, isn't
it? Yes, it kind of is, isn't it? So we're speaking to him. So you've got Kevin from Multiply at 7:50. I'm chatting to Rahil Ahmed from Rackbank at 8:20 this morning. Both fascinating interviews. And then we've got a big focus on travel. Because lots of travel stories doing the rounds this morning. You mentioned them in the headlines, Tom, didn't you?
Yeah.
Dubai tourism numbers, 2.2 million in the first couple of months of the year. Emirates, 70% capacity, heading towards 100%. Wouldn't it be a great day to interview the boss of Dubai Airports?
Not a bad day to be chatting to a man who's very much got his finger on the pulse of travel in and out of the region.
Paul Griffiths is in conversation with Tom this morning at 9:20. But it's... joking apart, it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it, for an airline operator or a airport operator? Because on the one hand, great, demand is back, people want to travel, they are travelling, happy days. On the other hand, you haven't got the staff because a lot were let go during the pandemic. And you can rehire people in a restaurant or a radio station very quickly. Yeah, come in, you're fine, you'll get the job done, it will be perfect. But the security hurdles that you have to jump over to hire someone to work at an airport or an airline are significant.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Those energy prices having an impact on aviation at the moment, as they are on all things travel, which makes you think once, twice or otherwise about a little bit of travel when it comes to an Eid al-Fitr break just around the corner. We've heard from Emirates Airline this morning, returning to 70% capacity. But what of the airports? Well, time for us to check in, a very timely check-in nonetheless, with the man that governs those airports, the CEO of Dubai Airports, which, of course, remember, has a couple of airports under their portfolio, Paul Griffiths, who joins us live on the line. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Tom, and a very good morning it is today.
Indeed it is. Busy, busy, busy time for you and your team. Let's start with the Eid break just around the corner. Obviously all sorts of wrangling as to how much time people are going to get off. We've had the great resign, the great rehire. Is it going to be a great getaway or a great stay put this coming weekend and next week?
I think we're expecting a great getaway, actually. Traffic so far has rebounded so strongly. We're seeing, I think, 3 years of pent-up demand and a lack of supply. So that tightness in the travel market means people have been scrambling to get capacity to be able to travel. But I think most have been successful. Over the last few weeks, we've had something like a 66% return to pre-COVID 2019 levels. And the good news is that the Dubai market is going gangbusters, as we know from our hospitality partners. We're 101% ahead of where we were pre-COVID in terms of people arriving and departing from Dubai. And the transfer markets have also rebounded strongly. We're now 52% recovered on the transfer markets. And as you've heard from Emirates, the load factors of our airlines here at DXB are reaching 72%, the highest they've been since the pre-COVID numbers. So it's fairly good news all round. And our service offering at the airport clearly is we're going to have all hands on deck to get a very smooth getaway, and hope we'll be maintaining our reputation as not just the busiest, but the best airport in the world throughout the Eid break.
Let's stay with DXB if we can for a moment. One thing we've heard from Emirates is it's not through want of trying at the moment to get flights back in the air to meet the demands, but it is the issues of trying to staff those services at the moment because of the pressures of staffing when it comes to an airline. One's assuming it's the same when it comes to airports as well, Paul. Maybe you can give us a little idea in terms of capacities at the moment and how you're doing in terms of getting back to full capacity of staff.
We have full capacity in all our terminals. We have all of the staff we need to be able to mount 100% operation. That's because we changed our business model during the pandemic. We went for a partnership model with some outsourced suppliers who were busy recruiting and training through the pandemic, because we knew, you know, to adapt Newton's third law, for every pandemic, there's an equal and opposite recovery. And we've certainly seen that. We anticipated that. So we are at 100% capacity. So we don't share the difficulties of getting people back into roles at the airport that some of the others in our industry have had.
I'm not going to ask you what Newton's first and second laws are, Paul, because I know that you'll know those. But I will ask you about Dubai World Central, if I may. We know that there's work planned for Dubai DXB. What's the latest from DWC? We've heard reports this week that some flights might be shifted there.
That's correct. Yes, from the 9th of May to the 22nd of June, we're undertaking essential runway works here at DXB. And those basically will prolong the life of the runway that we're resurfacing for another 10 years. But during that period, of course, it's a very intensive piece of work. We have to close the runway completely. And we are shifting quite a large number of flights to DWC for that period. Today and yesterday, we've conducted extensive trials at DWC to make sure that that terminal is fully ready to expect the demand, because obviously it's going to be a sudden burst of demand as we move a lot of flights there from May the 9th. So we're prepared and ready to do that. And all I would ask is customers that are traveling to and from Dubai, do check with your airline to make sure you understand which airport you're actually going to. DWC, I think, will be a nice surprise for many people. It's uncongested, it's quite small, the walking distances are very compact, and it's pretty close for a lot of the city. So I think people will enjoy going through DWC as much as they have been through DXB.
Morning, Paul. Richard here. How do you prevent chaos on a weekend like this? And I'm going to throw an example at you that you all know. Our home country, the United Kingdom. You were the former boss of Gatwick Airport. I'm from Manchester. And the scenes at my home airport, Manchester, have been chaotic in recent weeks during the busy Easter period. 3-4 hour queues, fights breaking out in the security checkout, CEO resigning, the mayor of Manchester getting involved. And the story is one that you've mentioned, is the fact that there's too much demand and not enough supply of staff. How do you prevent that happening?
Well, I have a great photograph I took myself about 10 days ago of hundreds of people at Heathrow Airport sitting on the baggage belts, where I and my fellow customers had to wait 90 minutes for our bags to emerge. And I have to say, then that was followed up by a complaint that I saw on Twitter, which basically said, don't blame us, the airport, blame the airline, because they are the ones who contract with the baggage handlers. Let me tell you, I've been avoiding chaos at airports for a number of decades now, and it's not my intent to allow that sort of thing to happen here at DXB. My staff are fully drilled to understand our customers mean everything to us, and I really hope that the service performance that we've been able to deliver consistently will persist through the Eid break, and I will be on the floor making sure that everyone is there doing their bit. And our great staff, I think, are really passionate about this, delivering great service to the customer. All I would ask is that people check with their airline, make sure that you come to the airport in plenty of time. Don't come too early, don't come too late, get it just right, and the service will be pretty good. I've been through it a number of times, checking it out. Our immigration service now, if you're a registered SmartGate user, you don't even have to get a document out of your pocket. You can just breeze straight through in a few seconds. We've invested so much in technology, service, process, and people. We hope that that will deliver a flawless service throughout the holiday and make sure that that's a great start to everyone's getaway.
Many more questions, Paul, but we're out of time on this occasion, so we'll let this weekend run and then get back to you and see how things went and look ahead for the rest of the year. But really appreciate your time and your efforts as well. Big thanks for joining us live on the line. Paul Griffiths there, the CEO of Dubai Airports, giving some great advice ahead of a busy weekend, and probably the wrong person to keep waiting at a baggage carousel.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
RakBank, the latest bank in the UAE to report strong quarterly earnings for the first quarter. We saw an increase of 93% in quarterly profit. I'm delighted to say that joining us in the studio now is the Chief Executive Officer of RakBank, Rahil Ahmed Ishig. Morning, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you, Richard.
93% quarter on quarter. What's the story behind the numbers?
I think we have seen tremendous growth in business in the first quarter of this year. So clearly that has contributed. And I also remember that in Q1 21, we were deep in the pandemic crisis. So clearly off a low base. But we have seen some amazing demand, positive sentiment, both from businesses and consumers. Plus, the credit quality of our book and our diversification strategy has worked really well.
Okay, there's a lot to unpick there. So let's talk first of all about the increasing demand for credit. Can we talk about companies first of all? Because we think of RakBank as, you know, the nation's SME bank. Who's borrowing money? Who's ringing up your bankers saying, you know what, I want a few million dirhams to build a factory and do whatever?
So I think it's a fairly diversified mix, Richard. So there's lots of businesses naturally during the pandemic. They slowed down, they curtailed operations because of lack of demand. So many of our existing clients are coming back and they want to now invest in development, invest in growth in their companies. But as you have been seeing, the UAE has been attracting a lot more entrepreneurs, a lot more startups, a lot more fintechs coming into the country. So we are also seeing a lot of demand from new companies that want to establish or do something in this region, having moved from other places in the world as well.
But typically startups, though, are not the client of an SME bank like yours. It doesn't matter if we're in San Francisco or the UAE or Singapore. Typically, startups go to angel investors or venture capital. It's only when they become more mature that they start becoming banking customers. Are startups on the radar for a bank like RakBank?
Absolutely, they are. I mean, I think, you know, lending is a different activity, but they need payment solutions, they need bank accounts, they need money management, they need cash flows. And we absolutely want to support and help startups grow in the country and in the UAE.
So what kind of companies are you lending to? Can you give us a couple of examples? I give the example of someone building a factory. But who's around the UAE at the moment who's borrowing money from RakBank to invest in the growth of their business?
So I think there's a lot of supply chain companies. Tourism is starting to increase. So, you know, the small businesses related to tourism, related to hotels, related to even manufacturing in certain sectors. There's a lot going on in hospitals are seeing resurging demand. So they have their supply chains. educational institutions, as you know, sort of getting more and more difficult to get seats in schools here. So clearly all those type of business activities are supported by small businesses, by SMEs on the supply chain side. And that's where we are seeing the biggest demand coming through.
Let's talk about consumer demand. We've been joking on the business breakfast this week, Tom will know this, that typically in Ramadan, the boom would have been car sales. And you've lived in the UAE for a long time. The adverts on Sheikh Zayed Road, buy a car in Ramadan deal. None of those this year, because they haven't got any cars. That must be hitting car loans, is it? There's no cars to loan against.
Yeah, I'm still looking for mine. I've been in the country for 3 months now. But Rag Bank, car loans is not a big part of our business. So we have not seen, it's not one of those businesses. We do it on a reactive basis, but not on a proactive basis. But I must tell you that the consumer demand all across, I mean, international travel is surging, right? Lots more people traveling. The demand for e-commerce, I think people, you know, getting to be more social again, you know, buying clothes, buying things for their house. Surging. So we are seeing a very broad-based demand from our consumers.
And are they borrowing money to do that from companies like you?
Yes,
or
they
using
are.
Credit cards?
Yes, they are. So I think the credit card spends have definitely increased. The revolve ratios perhaps still not where they were pre-pandemic. But I think that's also because of choice. I mean, customers have much more choice with new types of lending available to them as well. But we're definitely seeing a demand in our personal loan book, mortgages, right? So people, the number of mortgages in the country continues to grow despite the property prices being on the rise.
And, are you worried about that your mortgage book is growing as the market is booming, that there might be a bubble waiting to burst and you might be left holding the baby?
We see the mortgage demand more of a more permanent nature. I think you see less investors, less speculation, and more people who are actually buying to live in the properties themselves, which I think is very healthy for the economy as a whole. We do very cautiously look at rising interest rates because the mortgage affordability in a rising interest rate, and that's why how we calculate affordability, how we work and help our customers to think about a rising interest rate environment is very important. So I think from that perspective, we are absolutely cautiously looking at that. But I don't feel like there's a big bubble at this point in time building in the UAE.
We got questions coming in. No name on this one. What does a bank like Rag Bank make of the rise of cryptocurrencies?
So it's a very rising trend. I think we are doing heavy R&D and we are involved in a lot of dialogue with various players within the blockchain and the crypto world. We're talking to a lot of exchange houses that have been given approvals and licenses in the UAE. And is clearly an area we're looking at. We will do it thoughtfully and we'll do it naturally under the compliance and regulation of the CBUAE. But it is absolutely something that we're looking at to see how we can explore and help and support our customers in it.
Couple of final questions. Let me ask you, as the CEO and relatively new CEO of a large organization, big employer in the UAE, several thousand staff, how are you approaching the rising cost of living? On the one hand, you want to look after your staff, give them more money, housing allowances. On the other hand, you've got a P&L and an obligation to your shareholders. How do you juggle that?
I think it's a fine balance. But for us, having, as you know, I mean, there was this article in FT about the Great Resignation, right? So it's a global trend. It's not only in the UAE. And I think as employers, we have to think about our culture, our employee value proposition in a much more holistic way, to build a culture and enabling environment where our employees can grow and they can develop and they can have an environment to thrive in. So I think some of it is about money, but some of it is also about the values and the empowerment you create within the company.
Last question, Rahil. 30 seconds left on this. You've just moved back to the UAE. You've had a long career in banking. You were with Standard Chartered here in the UAE for a long time. You've been with Barclays in the UK for a long time. And you've just come back as the new CEO of Rag Bank. Why?
This place is like a magnet. I'm back for the third time. I think it's just the vibrancy and the culture and the speed of execution in UAE that is fascinating to be part of. And it's a region which is always on the frontier of innovation, and that is what pulled me back here.
Rahil, great to have you in the studio. Thanks very much indeed for joining us today. Rahil Ahmed is the CEO of Rag Bank. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure to be here.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Let's talk all things multiplication if we can. Abu Dhabi-based Multiply Group swung to profit in the first quarter of this year, driven by strong investments and making many of us stand up or sit up and listen. Net profit attributable to the owners of the company reaching 290.5 million dirhams. That's around about 79 and a bit million dollars in the 3 months to the end of March. That's compared with a loss of 889,000 dirhams in the same period last year. Reports suggest it's a strong start to 2022. That's an understatement if ever I heard one. Well, one man to reflect on that strong start, and I'm sure very pleased with those figures, the Chief Operating Officer of Multiply Group, who very kindly joins us live from Abu Dhabi via Microsoft Teams now. It's a warm welcome to Kevin Mark Rystrick. Kevin, thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning to all the listeners.
A strong start to 2022. You must be elated with these latest numbers.
Absolutely. The group was really formed in the second half of last year. So this is really our first, let's say, full quarter of operating performance with all the units, way ahead of all of the targets that we'd set. We beat everything on revenue, gross profits over 50%, the operating margin over 30%, finished the year even after our investments with more than 3 billion dirhams in cash and just under 12 billion of assets. So no, we're really, really happy with the outcome. Fantastic.
And in terms of what has, to your mind, set you apart in terms of driving these numbers so high, what's been the policy of what have been the acquisitions that really have made the difference here?
I think, from the acquisitions perspective, we did take a stake in Rihanna's Sabit X Fenty. That was a key investment, just over 90 million dirhams. Prior to that, we'd made the 275 million investment into Getty Images. We find their archive and the NFT possibilities there very attractive. Those are both investments that we expect to IPO or relist later this year. We also had the cornerstone investment in Dewa, 367 million dirhams. So on the investment side has performed well. We also have the investments prior to those acquisitions, which really performed extremely well, a lot of that on the back of the performance of the UAE stock markets. But I would also stress that the operating performance from our vertical businesses, in the five verticals we have, there we've got operational performance and digital transformation programs that we've been running. They're really starting to have some traction. So we saw very, very strong performance from the operating units as well.
Just a quick one, and forgive me on this one, Kevin, but a little bit of a potted history wouldn't go amiss if we can, because I think a lot of people out there might have been waking up yesterday morning and wanting to find, or Googling Multiply Group, just to find out where it's come from. To my mind, roots born out of hugely successful comms agency here in the region, MMC, partly acquired by IHC in 2020. Is that where the group comes from?
Yes, I mean it was actually basically the premier UAE owned marketing agency in Abu Dhabi, and still is in the Abu Dhabi market. It became part of the Royal Group IHC group, and then, as I said, mainly in the second half of last year, which accelerated towards the year end, we did all of the structuring with the group, with the owners and the shareholders at that time. So we built up the five different vertical areas focused around very strong businesses. All of our businesses are profitable and cash flow positive. And then we had the stock exchange listing at the beginning of December last year, where we raised just over 3 billion. And that's investment capital that we have available really to invest in new businesses and also to invest in technologies to help further develop the growth of our existing vertical businesses. So that's where we're coming from.
An extraordinary impact that you've had already in the first 3 months, or since formation, but also in the first 3 months of this year as well. In light of that, I mean, what is the strategy? What's the group strategy moving forward?
I think there are two key things that we want to do. First is that we really want to develop the vertical businesses that we have, whether it's in media and communications, digital, utilities, ventures, and then wellness and beauty. We want to infuse them with technology either bringing in the technology directly or through acquisitions that could, augment those businesses. And then on the investment side, we're really looking at taking stakes in businesses that we believe in the future could, first of all, enhance our verticals, but secondly, are going to have a sort of a strong technology edge, hopefully technology that we could also be involved in bringing to the region if it's US-based. If you look at a couple of our smaller technology investments in Firefly and Yieldmo, for example, in the digital media space, those are the kind of companies that we're looking at. Those are the kind of companies that we would look to work with in the UAE and the wider MENA region going ahead.
It is an extraordinary story. And just if we can bring it back a little bit personally to you, Kevin, Richard and my co-host and myself were talking during the show this morning about, it takes a lot for a man that's worked for three decades with Nokia, building it up, not just across the region, but globally as well, to move over to another brand. What was it about Multiply that attracted you?
I'd always wanted to do something different and, let's say, move away from the very big, corporate world that I'd grown to know and love. I had a fantastic experience, as you said, all over the world. But I wanted to sort of take the opportunity to jump into something which, does promise phenomenal growth, which has the sort of the high growth investment mindset. When I got the call from Samir, our CEO, I love the company and this is what I decided to do and haven't looked back since. It's just shows that whatever your age, you still have great opportunity and you can take it when it's presented.
Ah, come on, Kevin. You're still in your 30s by the looks of our Microsoft Teams shows this morning. Listen,
you had the call from Sammy or Tom? I haven't.
We haven't got a call.
Phones turned on.
We will keep the phones on and everyone. Kevin, we'll let you go, but really appreciate it. Congratulations to you, Sammy, and the rest of the team on those numbers. Kevin Mark Reistrick is the Chief Operating Officer of Multiply Group, who've posted some extraordinary numbers.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.